Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you. Getaway Friday, May the 14th, 2021, 16 and a half minutes past the hour here. And it really is a nice Getaway Friday this week. The temperatures have steadily gone up all week. Yesterday was a beautiful day. And today proves to be a beautiful day as well, and I think tomorrow looks that way as well. No 49-degree temperatures like last weekend, and very, very rainy days. So hopefully this weekend will be much better than last weekend, and so far, starting off Friday morning, it's very nice. And I have to tell you, it's chilly outside right now, but the temperature's supposed to take a big jump in about the next hour or two. And we'll all have a great Friday, great way to start the weekend. It's a good night, good day, really, for most people who don't have to work tomorrow to go out and put something on the grill and just have a great start to the weekend. May is such a great month for this, and we're approaching the middle of May. Actually, tomorrow we'll be smack dab in the middle of May, so here we go. Hopefully the nice weather is upon us and will stay. Now, one thing I do want to talk about quickly here, we have not heard from Ryan. Ryan was the winner Monday of our Cinco de Mayo trivia contest, and he won the corn salsa. Now, he picked this up on Tuesday, and he called us on Wednesday letting us know that he had picked it up. And Wednesday, he just did, Tuesday night, he had no corn chips to tell us if it was good, was it bad. But Wednesday, he was going to get some corn chips and have some of this corn salsa with his wife. And he was going to report back to us yesterday on the quality of the corn salsa. Was it good? Was it bad? What did the wife think? So on and so forth. And we have not heard from him, so hopefully we'll hear from Ryan today, and he'll be able to tell us how the corn salsa was, I think, because we all want to know. Also, we did our country music trivia contest on Tuesday, and we drew our winner on Wednesday. Now, the prize for this was Uncle Osgood's microwave popcorn on the cob. Pops right off the cob, and as I've said, I would love to have one of these myself and see this done. In the microwave, this must be a trick, so I hope whoever does this will videotape it. Now, our winner for this on Wednesday was Mark, who had entered the contest on Tuesday. Now, we have not heard from Mark since he won on Wednesday. So, Mark, if you could call us at some point this morning, let us know if you do want this prize, because it's still here in the studio, or if you don't want it, let us know, and we'll go back to our drawing from Wednesday, and we'll pick somebody else who possibly would want this prize. So, Mark, let us know about the Uncle Osgood's popcorn on a cob. So, Mark, Ryan, we hope to hear from you this morning. 740-383-9944. Now, we have kind of an interesting morning. Beyond that, first of all, I want to say this before I forget. Last night, I was talking a couple weeks ago on the air about ribs and good recipes for ribs and so on and so forth. And last night, I had some ribs. Angie cooked some ribs last night and brought them over. Ribs and green beans is what I had last night. Very good. Because I love green beans. Probably my favorite vegetable to have with, if I'm going to put a vegetable on the plate, other than salad. And these ribs were so tender and so good, and I don't know what barbecue sauce was on them, but they were just delicious ribs, so it was great to have a meal that I had not had in quite some time. So I appreciate those ribs last night, and I hope everybody had as good a meal last night as I did. Now, this morning, I have some, really, you'll want to stay tuned to your radio, because we have spent so much time on this program talking about downtown Marion and one-way streets and parking and so on and so forth. Well, yesterday, I decided that somebody needs to research this, because from city council, from the residents, from the people who call in here, our listeners, we know what the problem is, but we don't really know how the problem got started. And I'm not saying that the city council is not informed, but a lot of this stuff happened more than 40 years ago, and they just weren't around. So I did my research, like a good journalist should. I went and did my research on both issues, the one-way streets, as well as the parking. So, we're kind of going to get into this momentarily here, thanks to some archives that I was able to come by. And also, I found an article that, for me, is important, because there has been a long-term issue. I'm not going to say it yet, but there's been a long-term issue that I had to go back to the 1960s to solve. But I did that yesterday, and I now have the proof of something I always assumed. So stay tuned for that, because we're going to get into that this morning. Plus, I have some trivia questions, since we've had so much fun with that. But to start off the program, I said I had a story yesterday that I did not get to tell. Now, today, I'm going to tell this story because it seems to be the tenor of things, really, over the last month in the news across this country, has been race and has been police officers. And we even had a news report this week where we ran a clip with Police Chief Jay McDonald, and he was talking about how in Marion there is some of this anger toward police officers and because of things that have gone on nationally. And we certainly saw it in Columbus as well. So, all that being said, I'm going to try to tell this story in a way, because I don't, first of all, I think of the people listening to this show, all of you out there listening this morning, I think of you as my friends. So if I was having breakfast with you, or I was having a cup of coffee with you, or something like that, not that I would have a cup of coffee, because I don't drink coffee, but if I was having a diet soda with you or something, I would tell this story. But because I'm telling it on the air, and my wish is not to say anything nasty about anybody, or even come off nasty toward anybody, I have to clean this story up a little bit, but still give you the point of pretty much what happened. So, here is what happened. Well, first I should say, for those who don't know, I have worked in retail for a long, long time. I have probably been working in retail in some form or fashion since high school, waiting on customers. So this is nothing new to me. Now, even when I'm in stores where, when I'm not working, I, you know, pay attention to this because I've been in retail for a long, long time, and I usually know what the problem is that somebody might be having. Okay. So, a lot of stores in recent years have adopted these you-scan-yourself aisles, where you scan your groceries yourself. But usually, they only have one person working those areas. So, a lot of times, the people get overwhelmed who are working those areas. So, on Wednesday night, yeah, it would have been Wednesday. On Wednesday night, I was in one of these areas, and there was a person who I knew. Now, I don't know them well, but here's what I will say. This is as much as I will say about the person. They are the owner or partial owner, I'm not sure which, of Marion, of a Marion business. or several Marion businesses. To be honest with you, I really don't know. I just know they have some kind of stake in a Marion business or several Marion businesses. That's how I know them. That's it. So I see this person in the self-checkout line where I am as well. And it looked like they were in somewhat of a hurry. So I'm there as well, and I notice that their machine has stopped working. It's locked up. So, trying to be helpful and kind of knowing who this person was, I walk over to the machine, and I see that it's blinking, that something has not been scanned, which is easy to do. When you work these U-Scan machines, a lot of times you'll run things over them, and it doesn't pick them up, and at the end, there is a sensor in there. Most places have a sensor to which it will tell you that something has not been scanned, and it will lock the machine up until you scan that item. So, I can clearly see that is what has happened. So, I look at the screen to see what has been scanned, and it's not a big group of items. It's a small group of items that the person has scanned. So, I look up at the screen, and I see that there is a fairly big item. It was not expensive, but it was a fairly big item that had not been scanned, that was in the bag of the person. So, I just thought, well, they probably ran it over the scanner, and it did not register. So I said to the person, this is why your machine is locking up, because this item is not on your receipt and needs to be scanned. So, being helpful and understanding these U-Scan machines, I just picked the item up out of their bag, which I assume they wanted it. It was already in their bag. I picked it up, and I ran it over the scanner, and I dropped it back in their bag. Now, at this point, I really had not been paying attention to this person, this business owner, local business owner. So they looked at me at this point. Now, and this is exactly how it happened. I scanned the item for them to unlock the machine, put the item back in the bag, same bag it had just been in 30 seconds earlier. The machine is now unlocked, and the person turns to me and says, "Why are you looking over my shoulder?" Now, I was not looking over anybody's shoulder. It was not hard to see that the machine was locked up. This person was not going to go anywhere until somebody came over and helped them, or somebody who worked at the establishment came over and helped them. They weren't going anywhere. So it wasn't hard to see what was going on. I didn't have to look over anybody's shoulder to see what was happening because the lights were flashing. So I thought, oh, okay, well, apparently this person did not want any help. So before I could even get a word out, when they said, why are you looking over my shoulder, this was immediately followed by, you're a racist. And that's just how it came out. You're a racist. So at this point, I'm thinking, you know, I've had enough of this. I don't even understand this. So, at this particular point, then they say to me, take that item off. Now, this is the item that had just been in the bag, not paid for, that I had ran over and unlocked the machine to put it in the bag. Now they want this item taken off. Why? I have no idea. So, I want to get away at this point as quick as I can because this situation is getting a little too strange for me. So, I pick the item up and I try to void it off because there's a button on the screen that allows you to void items off. So, I thought, we'll get this voided off and I'll get away from this person and that'll be that. So I pick the item up and I try to void it off, and you apparently had to do it a certain way and I wasn't doing it. Well, after I tried to void it off, which took about 10 seconds, the person looked at me and said, "If you don't get away from me, I'm going to beat your head in." And that was what they said. So now I've really decided I'm done here. So I said, "You know, I'm going to get somebody here to help you." So I just walked over to the person who clearly was in charge of the store. You know, you can always tell who's in charge of the store because they don't have a uniform on usually, but they have a name tag on. Now, this person was watching the whole thing. So I walk over to this person, and while I'm walking over to this person, there's an older lady in the line. Now, she had heard everything that had happened between me and this Marion business owner. She'd heard the whole conversation. And she turns to the person and says, "You need to be a little kinder." And the person then yells at this older lady and says, "Are you a racist?" And she starts to have an argument with him. "I'm not a racist. Why do you think everybody's a racist?" And then the business owner said some derogatory remarks to her. I won't repeat them because, to be honest with you, I don't remember exactly what they were, but there was an argument going on, and at this time, I'm trying to get the manager over there. So the manager walks over. Now, at this point, I've walked away from the situation. The manager walks over, and the manager is trying to take this item off, void it off, so this person can pay for their stuff and get out of there. And now this person's yelling at the manager and saying things like, "Why did that guy come over here and look over my shoulder? He's racist. There's a lot of racist people in this town. Are there a lot of racist people in this store?" And then yelling at the manager, "You've got to hurry up. I've got places to be. Blah, 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 blah." And eventually, I think the person paid for their stuff and then left. Now, that pretty much from beginning to end is what happened. But this, to me, was an odd occurrence for a lot of reasons. Number one, as I say, this person, as far as I know, owns a Marion business and may be involved in more than one. And number two, this happened in a very, very public place. And I'm not really sure exactly what happened. Now, I'm willing to chalk it up to the person was having a bad day. You know, it very well could have been. I did not take it personally. I understand that people right now, they're a little more sensitive than they have been in the past right now. And I guess that was a sensitive moment when I walked over there to help unlock the machine. But why it went from 0 to 100 so quickly, and why the names were called that were called, I really don't understand. And I don't understand why this also translated to the older lady in the aisle, and I don't understand why it went to the manager of the place I was in, and just turned into a whole big mess. Now, that's the story, and I wonder, what are your thoughts on this? Because I really have no other thought on this, except that clearly the person was very, very sensitive to what was going on, I think. But it is shocking because this was a person who owns businesses. So I'm not saying they have a lot of money. I mean, you never know how well a business is doing. But you would think that you would not want to maybe act that way in public, and that maybe you would not want to, I don't know, be having that sort of trouble. It's really a mystery to me, and that's why I thought I would tell you this morning, and just say in my own mind, I've just chalked it up to a highly sensitive nature at this particular point. But if anybody has any thoughts, give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. You got any thoughts on this? Because to me, it was just a very odd circumstance. Didn't make me angry. And I really wasn't uncomfortable, to be honest with you. I was worried that something was going to escalate with the older lady, or possibly the manager, because I could see that happening. But, I mean, I don't know that the person was ever going to hit me. Maybe they would have. I don't know. But I've always found it's best to de-escalate those situations and just walk away, because what's the point? If somebody's that angry, you're not going to calm them down, because at that point, they're running on adrenaline. So there's the story. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. Or has anybody experienced anything of a similar nature? Because it's interesting times now. And when this went on, I thought about what Police Chief McDonald had said the other morning on the news report about how a lot of his officers now are being held to a standard because of things that have happened in other societies that haven't happened here in Marion, but that there is an anger toward certain officers. Now, clearly, I'm not saying that everybody always does the right thing. And sometimes people do have to be held accountable. But in this particular situation that I experienced yesterday, you know, it was not going to be any money out of my pocket either way, whether or not this item was paid for or not. And that it escalated into that, to me, was just very odd. So again, if you have an opinion, give me a buzz, and if not, we'll move on. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. I just think that's an interesting story. But I'm willing to chalk it up at this point under the column of no good deed goes unpunished. And also, a few weeks ago, I was talking on this program about how sometimes people act a little different around other people than they act in front of, let's say, when the newspaper's around, or when they're in their own establishment. They don't tend to act that way. My guess is this person would not have acted that way in their own establishment, and would not have acted that way in front of a reporter who had been there. And I don't think they knew who I was, or certainly that I would be telling this story right now, but I'm not giving you any details. I'm not telling you what business it is. I'm not telling you what kind of business it is. I'm not telling you if the person was male or female, because I think that's not necessary. You know, you don't have to knock somebody's business, and you don't have to knock them publicly to make your point. And the point is just, that's exactly how the story happened, and that's exactly how I think sometimes tensions just get a little high. Well, before we move on past this, now that that's out of the way, again, no good deed goes unpunished. 740-383-9944. Any opinions on this? 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can have a conversation about it. It is an interesting topic in my mind. And again, Mark, if you're out there, give us a buzz about the corn, popcorn on a cob, that we would like you to pick up anytime you're free. And Ryan, how was the corn salsa? You know, I'm getting a little worried about Ryan. We haven't heard from Ryan for a couple days now. And we hope the corn salsa went over okay. So that's where we are on that particular issue. And again, the phone lines are always open here, 740-383-9944. Okay, let's move to the downtown Marion history lesson. What do we've got plenty of time left here. By the way, the atomic clock is not working again. 2:21 a.m., January 2nd, 2021. Still an issue there with the old atomic clock. I do want to give kudos, by the way, because I've taken their name in vain so many times, that McDonald's did a great job this morning. They had a very long line, and that line moved with great speed this morning. So I appreciate that quite a bit. All right. One-way streets and the history of it in Marion and parking downtown. Okay. Let's start with this. Now, people wonder how we got these one-way streets and how everything got to be the way that it was. Okay. Well, there was something called the streetscape plan. Does anybody remember this? Now, this article that I have is from March 29th, 1981, so more than 40 years ago. So this is an article that appeared in the Marion Star, March the 29th, 1981. Last year, Much City, let's get the article started right. Last year involved Much City Council legislation and the cooperation of owners of downtown Marion property in the progress of the Marion Streetscape Project. The plan, which proposes to beautify downtown streets, had, at the close of 1979, received support from owners of 60% of Marion's downtown frontage feet. Jim Waddell, Urban Revitalization of the Marion Area Chairman, said, with the progress the program made in 1980, construction, landscaping, and rewiring will begin in April. The Marion Streetscape Project is set for completion late this year or early in 1982. At the beginning of 1980, City Council examined and later approved the preparation of construction documents. City Council also passed necessary legislation for city financing of the streetscape drawings. Owners and tenants in downtown property were asked last spring to cooperate with a topographical survey necessary before plans could be completed. Architectural plans were completed during the summer, according to Waddell. Early last fall, City Council formally accepted the plan. Assessment of downtown property owners based on frontage foot took place thereafter. Mayor Ronald Malone assisted IRMA's progress by appointing a board of equalization headed by Larry Brown with members Matt Granger and Charles Wright. The board was formed to hear appeals from property owners on their assessments. The streetscape plans, as prepared by James H. Bassett Incorporated, Landscape Architects Planners of Lima, call for renovation of Center Street between High Street and Canby Court. Main Street between the Penn Central Railroad and Church Street. Prospect Street between Center Street and Church Street. Property owners were assessed at an estimated $192 per front foot on Center and Main Streets and $160 per front foot on Prospect Street. Under the plan, the city finances renovation of public areas such as alleys, intersections, and entry points and its own front footage. To finance the cost of the project, the city, according to the proposal, would underwrite bond issues at about 7% interest for the property owner's share of the streetscape. Waddell pointed out that early in 1980, the project won the approval of the Marion County AFL-CIO Council. The streetscape includes installation of new curbs and sidewalks, utility strip and decorative paving. Pedestrian areas will be broadened to accommodate trees, planters, benches. New traditionally styled streetlights will be installed, and multiple fixture lights will emphasize intersections. A large landscape project is also part of the streetscape program. Underground conduits will be installed under the electrical portion of the plan. The conduits will eliminate overhead wiring. Unique street signs will be placed downtown along with sculptures. Now, this is March 29th, 1981. Okay, the last part of this, to me, is the most important. Okay, this is what the streetscape project was supposed to do. Installation of new curbs and sidewalks, utility strip and decorative paving. Now, how many of you have been down to downtown Marion and seen the decorative paving? Pedestrian areas will be broadened to accommodate tree planters and benches. Is that done? I don't know. Maybe that's been done. New traditionally styled street lights will be installed, and multiple fixture lights will emphasize intersections. Did that happen? I don't see a lot of that downtown. A large landscape project is also part of the streetscape program. Underground conduits will be installed under the electrical portion of the plan. Now, unique street signs. Now, has anybody seen a unique street sign downtown? Now, I know there's a sign on the road there in front of Papa John's that says Merge. But other than that, are there unique street signs downtown? And sculptures. Now, how many of you have been downtown to see the sculptures that this streetscape program in 1981 gave us? The sculptures. Now, see, this, again, this was done by a group out of Lima. And there was a group, you know, we got one of these councils together, IRMA. So this is why downtown is the way it is. Now, IRMA, remember, stands for Urban Revitalization of the Marion Area. Now, its chairman was Jim Waddell. Now, is Jim still with us? Did anybody know Jim Waddell? Because we should ask him where these sculptures and unique street signs are that were supposed to be downtown. And where is this group? Is there such a thing as IRMA anymore? Is this like downtown revitalization? The urban revitalization of the Marion area? Because this was going on in 1981, more than 40 years ago. March 29th, 1981. Does this article tell you anything about what's going on? 740-383-9944. Do you have any thoughts on that before we get to the parking? And by the way, if you want to know why Center Street is one way, I don't have the article with me, and maybe I'll print it off before Monday. But I was reading up on this. Now, here is one of the reasons given for why Center Street is one way. And you can't make this up. Apparently, there used to be a nursing home somewhere on West Center Street. It's clearly not there anymore. There's no nursing home on West Center Street. But apparently, people were speeding down through Center Street, West Center Street. So we decided to make the streets one way, or at least Center Street. Church Street, I don't know. Maybe it was in the same process. I'll have to do more research on that. But that was a reason given for making Center Street one way, West Center Street, because there was a nursing home down there, and the traffic was too fast. Now, we have to think about these things. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know of any sculptures downtown? Does anybody know of any unique street signs downtown? Anything? Does anybody know what happened to the Urban Revitalization of the Marion Area Committee or Jim Waddell? 740-383-9944. And again, it all came from a study conducted by a group out of Lima. There you go. All right. Now, here's something about the parking. Now, this was just a few months later. I guess they realized this streetscape program was really getting a little sideways. This article's from April 23rd, 1981, about a month, not even a month, after the article we just read. Now, the headline reads, "Downtown Marion Faces Loss of Available Parking Spaces." Now, here's what it says. By the time Marion's downtown streetscape improvements are completed, sometime late this year, over a quarter of curb parking in the affected area will be lost. At present, no solutions to the parking reduction are in sight. However, some steps are being taken to find answers. For one thing, changes were made in the streetscape construction design. However, changes were made in the streetscape construction design to restore a small number of parking spaces which otherwise would have been lost. John Grossman, project planner and coordinator for James H. Bassett Incorporated, the Lima architectural firm hired for the project, told the Marion Star that there will be a 30% reduction in parking, with most of the spaces taken from Center Street. Curb parking will increase from 13 spaces to 27 on Prospect Street between Center and Church. The total of parking spaces on Main Street between Mill and Church will drop from 48 to 36. Originally, it appeared only 30 would be left, said Grossman, but six spaces were restored during the design phase. There will be 55 spaces left on Center Street from Canby Court to High Street versus 100 available now. Grossman said the original plans called for the number to drop to 46, but nine spaces were restored. Completion of the five-tier parking structure included in Harding Hotel renovation plans would help rebuild downtown parking. However, the project remains on hold because of economic conditions, according to an owner of the former hotel. Now, do you understand this? They were going to fix the problem downtown. Now, on Center Street, we went from 48 parking spaces No, excuse me. We went from 100 parking spaces to... We went from 109 parking spaces to 55 on Center Street back in 1981. Now, how this was going to be fixed was there was going to be a five-tier parking structure included in the Harding Hotel renovation plans. Now, how many of you have been down to the five-tier parking structure at the Harding Hotel? There you go. All right. Les Azure Company, partner and spokesperson, said the high interest rates continue to block the start of construction. He said that despite the delay, no changes have been made in designs for the hotel or parking structure. In a related area, the urban revitalization of the Marion Area Incorporated has turned its attention to the parking needs of the Central Business District. With planning for the streetscape behind it, IRMA now will look into developing additional downtown parking, in particular off-street parking. Jim Waddell, here he is again, IRMA chairman, told the Star that a six-member parking committee held an organizational meeting earlier this month and will hold a second session early next month. Waddell said that one of the first items on their agenda is to decide whether the IRMA committee should hire consultants to review downtown parking needs or depend on their own expertise. Waddell said the committee must determine whether a parking problem exists and, if so, whether there is an actual shortage. My personal opinion is that we have enough parking, he remarked. It just isn't properly used. The committee will also collect information on grants which may be available for developing off-street parking, he reported. So, now remember, on April 23rd, 1981, Jim Waddell, chairman of IRMA, this is just amazing. Chairman of the basically fixed downtown area said, and this is his quote, "My personal opinion is that we have enough parking," he remarked. "It just isn't properly used." This is 40 years ago, and we're just fixing the problem now. We lost 30% of the parking downtown because of this streetscape in 1981. And the downtown businesses apparently had to pay for it by the foot in front. And there was going to... Now, go downtown today and see if you can find the unique street signs, the sculptures, and the five-tier parking area that's supposed to be around the Harding Hotel. Now, that was going to fix all these problems. Now, this is 1981. This all went down. More than 40 years ago. 40 years ago this year, matter of fact. Does anybody have any thoughts on this now that we have the history of it? I find this fascinating. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. We're going to run to the end of the hour here with this because of all the reading. But if you ever want to know the history, when you're downtown, of why there is a parking issue and why Center Street and Church Street became one way and why everything happened, we have to go back to this group and this Jim Waddell and... how this all happened. 30% of the parking eliminated, and all these things that were supposed to happen that apparently never did happen. Probably sitting in a file cabinet over at City Hall somewhere. All right, we're going to break. Come back in 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
No kidding, you're among the seats. I am in the seats right now. I can see Oregon and Indiana and New Hampshire. I am in the arena.
Wow. Say, Scott, were you there last night for Cruz?
I was, and let me tell you, one of the discussions yesterday certainly was on the division feeling here at the Republican National Convention. And if the boos you heard on television was something last night, you should have heard the boo